Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hail cheaters, welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name's Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm elated, Josh. The final pod of the 21-22 season. I feel like we've got to figure out what the story is here. Yeah. I feel elated and exhausted at the same time at the end of the season. You know, we met up with some friends at the Black Horse in Brooklyn for the final day. You had said this is one of the rare like game week 38s where we're more excited for the actual matches than we are for the FPL implications.
Once a decade, it's an acceptable thing. You know, it's a I'm almost always much more concerned. Well, I mean, and honestly, in most years, there just isn't a lot of. I mean, even the relegation battle, which in theory you'd think would be much more wide open, but I feel like almost every year it's settled, you know, before before game week 38 kicks off. So yeah, it was all in play. Our bar, you know, it's kind of funny because I thought they would have the Leeds and Burnley matches on a couple of the screens there. And in the end, they ultimately made the right call because those games were like, it was just dramatic. Like it was so much more dramatic than I think any of us expected it to be. I think, you know, I thought that Villa could score. I thought there was at least a chance they could, you know, hold the line. But then, you know, you see that Emi Martinez has been rested for whatever, for like his upcoming vacation. I don't know what he's being rested for exactly. There's like a Copa America this summer or anything. I don't know what he's, you know, but anyway, so Martinez is rested, obviously a full strength Man City squad. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be like 4-0. And then Olsen has a great game until that second goal. The second goal, I think, was the one getting beat at the near post. That's not always a great moment. But yeah, just a really fun day. You know, fantasy wise, I think for both of us, we ended up kind of closing nicely. I think the highlight maybe for me was actually my highlight for the day, I think, was when Martin Odegaard scored for your team. Because the story of the last 10 weeks is you just holding on with Martin Odegaard in the face of blank after blank, you know, and he finally comes through with a goal.
I was right, Josh. Let the record show. I was right. Even however many weeks it took. And there's no arguing with it at all.
No, there's no one. If someone talked about a broken clock being right, you know, twice a day or whatever.
But I think my game week 38 is a great reflection of the season where I took a -4 to bring in two players, Kulishevsky and Ivan Toney. One of them was a brilliant pick, and the other one was just an utterly bad pick. there it is. It's sort of like it's always two sides of the coin this season, it seemed.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, honestly, getting 50% of your transfers right is probably like about as good a hit rate as you can hope for. You know, I feel like that's, you know, in the seasons where you crack the top 10K, it's just you get above that 50% barrier, right? Yeah. It's something like, you know, we're talking about this guy, Pat Riley, who won our, you know, the co-owner of the Miami Heat, Brandon. Pat Riley, not the same person, who won our Patreon league, and he brought in Callum Wilson this week, right? All of us jumps going for Ivan Toney, and he brings in Callum Wilson. And when you have a great season, you just get those things right a little more. A little bit luck, a little bit, you pay more attention. I think when you're doing extremely well, it kind of focuses you a little bit. And I think that's why, you know, you have these seasons where, you know, a lot of the managers who win, it's like, you know, 642,000 overall, 597,000 overall, one, you know, and then the next year be like 347. You know, it's like this sort of, it's just like one year where everything kind of goes right off the bat. And it's sort of that you're just like, you're drilled in, right? Yeah. Because like at that point you're like, I'm listening to 27 podcasts. I'm like subscribing to every website. Like I'm going to be all in on this season. And then there's other years. And I think it's kind of happened to you a little bit this year, which is that, you know, you hit game week 16 or whatever, and you're at 282,000. You're like, well, like, I'm throwing out like 90% of my goals right now, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just like, it's, you have to like set new ones for yourself, but that's just not as,
yeah.
you know, as exciting. So I feel like that's sort of, yeah. I mean, how do you ultimately feel about this season? I mean, I know that you were just talking before about sort of being mm-hmm. ready to move on to next year. And I kind of feel the same way, to be honest.
Well, I feel like I've already made my peace with the season in a way. I feel like it was the hardest FPL season that I've played yeah. In a decade. One of those seasons where the variance, the luck, whatever it was, I feel like I got none of it on top of making a few bad calls. I think we can drill in on a couple of specific things that maybe I want to do differently next season.
Yeah.
I don't know. Coming into this season, my goal was to be more proactive. I felt like last season coming out of it, I was passive. I let FPL happen to me mm-hmm. as opposed to the other way around. And I'm not sure I really changed much this season. Mm-hmm. And the season was just so chaotic with the yep. COVID stuff in the middle. It was not an ideal season for certain managers to like change their stripes. It right. wasn't a good season for you to mm-hmm. say, this is my new philosophy of FPL, because, you know, we were constantly putting out fires. We talked about this with the free hit chip that came in halfway through that was meant yep. to help managers who were drowning.
Right.
And I think that speaks to how chaotic the season was. So it's, I think there'll be a lot of people thinking, you know, what the takeaways are this season, but maybe there aren't, because it was just so chaotic.
Yeah, well, that's exactly, I mean, I was thinking about that when you're talking about, yeah, like, why change your strategy for, or like, you know, like change your whole mindset for this kind of COVID scarred season, weirdly more so than last year. Right. Yeah. It was still bizarre, like that the year with no fans in the stands is the one that was less impacted by COVID. I mean, there's a stretch of time in December where I was like, I can't believe anyone's even listening to this podcast anymore. You know, because it was yeah. just like, you know, we'd record and then the next day, three more matches would get canceled, you know, and then the morning of the, you know, two more matches would get postponed. Yeah, I should say postponed instead of canceled. You know, and it was just like, it was just a lot of chaos. And I think it kind of broke my brain a little bit too. We've talked about it a fair amount on the podcast, and so I don't want to be, I think there was just a moment where it got in my head as a manager, all the craziness that was happening. And I think it got in our heads a little bit from a podcast perspective, because it was just really hard to record episodes because there was just so much chaos. And, mm-hmm. you know, and we try to like, we're not the most structured pod to begin with. We like to keep it loose, but, you know, unfortunately, I mean, what we like to do is it's like a vibe, you know, like when we're enjoying ourselves and the podcast is good, it's just, you know, it should be like a fun supplement to fantasy. Mm-hmm. Like, you're right. It's just like, it's like Monday mornings and here's always cheating. It sort of sets you on the path for the rest of the week. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and we're sort of like talking big picture, having fun. And then on Fridays you can, you know, deep dive into some, you know, like hardcore stats and analysis. That's just not our lane, you know, mm-hmm. never has been. And so, you know, but I think at some point it just became hard to do any of that because the vibe was bad. You know, Brian, we needed a vibe shift. You know, the mm-hmm. vibe shift didn't happen until like April. And then there was some moment where I don't really know. I guess we either got used to it or we saw the end in sight or whatever. But I feel like, you know, for people who've been listening to the pod for a long time, I feel like our tone has gotten a lot better the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I feel like mm-hmm. there was a moment where we just sort of were like, all right, let's just be positive again, because that's mm-hmm. what we have always been about, right? Make fantasy fun again is like, mm-hmm. the whole point of it is like, this should be fun. And yeah. if I'm coming out here complaining, people are right to be annoyed by that, right? Because yeah. it's just not like, it's not important. And, you know, you invest in it, of course. You know, I was thinking of Roger Angel, the great New Yorker writer who passed away at 101 this week. It was, you know, really interesting, you know, just a great life. He's a sort of famous, literate, smart sportsman, you know, mm-hmm. wrote about, you know, every year he wrote an article. I think it was like a World Series article. It was, you know, talk of the town piece in the New Yorker. And, but anyway, he's sort of famous as this, as a sports fan and just as like a kind of lover of sports. And he was saying that, you know, the whole, it's like, it's obviously patently ridiculous to be rooting professional sports, to be in this world at all. It's just like you, like the whole thing is a contrivance, you know? But it's, you just care, you know? And like, it's just like, it's fun to care about stuff because especially as you get older, it's just harder to find things that you really care about, you know? And so I think that's when the fantasy stuff, it's like, I have chosen to care about it. Right. And it, to the point where we've, you know, started this long running podcast about it. And it's like, you know, and so I do care. And so it's hard to just like have this moment where you're just super frustrated by the game and the COVID stuff and, you know, just like feeling like the game maybe isn't quite like adapting as well as I think it could have to some of this stuff. And, you know, and just like turn off that like caring switch. Right. And just be like, ah, you know, like who cares? It's all just a game. It doesn't matter, you know? And so if I care and my feeling is like, this sucks, you know, then that's just like how I want to come on and talk about the podcast. That's just where my head is, you know, and that's just not good or fun, you know? And so, yeah, we had to get away from that.
So we came into game week 38 this weekend. What did you care about? What were your goals coming into game week 38? Yeah. You took a swing bringing in Sadio Mane along with Ivan Toney.
Almost
how do you feel worked. Like, how do you feel like that went?
Well, I mean, I think it went great. I think it was a good swing, right? I mean, especially when it became very clear that Salah wasn't going to start, you know, I thought there was a great chance that Mane could score. I basically gambled. I gambled that there was a chance that Son could blank. And that's that Mane. I mean, you and I talked about it this morning. We had a birthday party that went so late that you just stayed over last night. So I actually came and woke you up and immediately started talking fantasy to you. I was like, "You got to get up. We got to go. Here are my planned transfers."
Yep.
So we were talking about you know, just like who could score the most. And I was like, well, you know, Mason Mount was a player I was considering. And I was just like, well, Chelsea don't have anything to play for, you know? And it's just like in a game where there's nothing to play for, it's just going to be really unpredictable. Like what they're, you know, obviously they were playing Watford at home. They're probably going to win that match as they ultimately did, barely. You know, but it was just like, yeah, like, I don't know, you know, how much are they really going to like throw everything on the line in a game like this? Whereas, you know, I mean, that pass from Thiago for Sadio Mane's goal was a championship caliber pass, right? Like if they had won the league, that pass would be like one of the things that like was on a highlight reel forever, right? Because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful ball. And he almost scored twice. You know, he was clearly offside. But you know, I didn't know that at the time. And so when he scores twice, I'm like, he's got a brace and Son's blanking and this is beautiful. And that's, you know, so Son ultimately does get to doesn't get any bonus. So at least that kind of gets a yellow card. So that does kind of ultimately, Mane was on 9, Son was on 12. It really didn't make as much of a difference as I was worried it might. I mean, the Toney thing was just, I actually needed the money to fund the Mane move, and he felt like the move that made the most sense. I actually think Callum Wilson might have been too expensive. So, you know, I'm not going to do the retroactive game. But, you know, for me, it was like, talk about like adjusting your expectations, right? Like I won our mini league last year, right? And so, like, for me, it was like, but I've been in sixth place, like, the entire season. And so my new goal going into game week 38 was I just want to try to get to fourth. I think fourth in a mini league is, like, your money back, you know? But I was just like, I just get me to fourth, and I'll feel like, you know, I've won something this year. And so that was kind of my goal. It's like, what can get me to fourth? And I didn't do it in the end, but at least, you know, but just having that like sweat was kind of what I wanted today. And so, so, I mean, it was fun. I mean, you know, if Son hadn't scored the brace, then, you know, I mean, I don't know if, you know, if I hadn't woken up, that, you know, it's like he did score the brace. That's a thing that happened. And so, yeah, but I, you know, that was sort of what I was going for. I mean, what was your, did you have anything that you today you were just like, you just want to have a good final game week? Like,
yeah, I didn't have any goals for game week 38 per se, nothing I could have achieved. So my goals with my transfers were just like, let's just make some good picks. Let's make some picks that are going to score some points. Yep. And I thought about that Mason Mount pick. I thought about Chelsea and agreed ultimately with your point of view where this just seems like a wholly unpredictable result. The one thing I felt very confident about going into the weekend was Spurs were going to rain goals upon Norwich. And I said 5-0. I think this is a 5-0 result. And it seemed to, and that actually came to pass. Yeah. So that was satisfying.
Our production team to check the tape on that one, Brandon. We'll go back and
we'll see. We'll see. Toney is just, as you know, I mentioned my disappointment there, but the Kulishevsky pick, it's just one of those where you're just wondering, can I afford this guy next season? We were talking with our pals at the Black Horse, like, look at all these players who have performed in the second half of the season, from Son and Kulishevsky to somebody like Luis Diaz. Will we be able to afford them? Will our dreams come true at the start of next season? It was remarkable watching game week 38 unfold, whereas cast your mind back to game week one, where it was Mo Salah and Bruno Fernandes just torching the FPL site. And they were the farthest players from our minds coming into 38. It had become the Sun show. I mean, I don't even know who else was even close to the degree of fantasy spotlight of Sun coming into 38. So that to me is another illustrative thing about how far we've come from game week one to game week 38, how much just like our attention has changed for these players.
It really is interesting, right? I mean, I had Ronaldo for such a time this year. I had Lukaku for several weeks this year, and as did many people out there. I mean, there's, you know, Luke Shaw. That's the one. Like, Luke Shaw is the one next year where you and I were talking about this, and we were talking about Fabio Borges, who is, he was like this name that it used to be like a joke. I mean, because it was like we would, you know, he's been in the Super League for I think since our first season, and you know, his name just kept popping up again, and we're like, who is this guy? And now he's sort of this like world famous, you know, widely considered the greatest FPL player of all time. You know, it just fantastic. And he had this interview that you were recounting. I think it was in the Fantasy Football Scout, if I recall, whatever it was. And but he was talking about EO and just how he does not pay any attention to it. And that to me is the shift I want to make next year. The vibe shift is I am ignoring EO comprehensively. It doesn't make the game fun for me. And I don't think it helps me. I don't think it helps my process. Like I am, you know, it's not that I don't want data. I want plenty of data. Even though I'm not a data person, I am very good at interpreting analysis, right? So people look at data and they provide analysis. I am very good at processing that, right? And like understanding what they're explaining to me, you know, and which is like plenty. And like, I don't need the other layer of like, of the ownership stuff, because to me, it doesn't, I'm not convinced that like the crowd is right a lot of the time on this stuff. Right. And, you know, and I don't know. And so I just feel like it's like sort of, it's, and also I just do not want to go into another season where like, of course this stuff's going to peak out. It's going to be hard to like completely avoid, but to go into another season where I don't celebrate goals from certain players because their ownership is so high, it's functionally irrelevant. Mm-hmm. That is just not fun. Like, you know, like, oh yeah, great. Like, you know, I mean, I felt that way a lot, especially at the start of the season. Like, oh great, Mo Salah scored. Well, like, who cares? You know, it's like, it doesn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. And like your rank doesn't even move. And that's just not, that is just not a feeling. Like, you know, I mean, I don't really check my live rank because I'm superstitious about that stuff, because I don't want to like see clean sheets, you know, banked or anything like that. Yep. But you know, either way, I just feel like I don't want to, I just don't want to be involved in that kind of, like that part of the kind of data revolution of fantasy. Cause I think that is, you know, if I can pivot here, and I want to read off the winners of the Super League in a second, Brandon, but just because I'm bringing it up now, I think I'm just going to lean into it here, because this is our shaggy final episode of the season. But I think the story of this season is the data revolution. It feels like this is, and maybe I'll change next year, but it feels like this is the year when all of the people who are serious about math, like, just won everything, you know? Like, it just, like, they were like, all of the kind of math forward fantasy players this year were in the top 10K, right? And many in the top 2K and higher up. And it was just, you know, and like, of course, I guarantee, you know, like, someone's sitting here right now and they're in the top 100 listening to this podcast. I'm like, I don't look at math at all. I'm sure there are obviously exceptions to that.
They can't even do math.
They can't even do math. They can't.
Actively bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Actively bad at math. But in general, I would say that these sort of popular accounts that take a very math forward, like Sertol, the really fantastic gentleman that we had on our podcast, and this Ryan McCallum, you know, he's a gentleman. He's very genuinely
agreed.
Nice man. When he came on the podcast and, why did I bring this up? Oh, well, just so that he was, you know, so he had a terrific season, an absolutely fantastic season. And I think things spun too far. I honestly think that a lot of the like frustration about this stuff that I felt like really bubbled up this year was just jealousy, right? It's like, it's all fine. Like people can do whatever they want, but when they're like suddenly doing better than everybody else, I think people just got like a little jealous, you know, and maybe a little panicked. So there's a moment where I was like, well, is this, you know, is this just like what the future of the game is forever? It's certainly become a lot more prevalent. I mean, when you and I started, do you remember there being a lot of data? I mean, it wasn't like data was like, you know, foreign to the fantasy game, but it feels like it's gotten much, much more prevalent, right?
Right. The predictive data. When we started doing FPL, the data was just a listing of, you know, past results. Like here are the goals, here are the touches that players had in these game weeks. It's like, thank you, Fantasy Football Scout, for pulling that Opta data for us. But now, the revolution that you're talking about is let's take that data and use it to run formulas to predict as best we can what's going to happen. Yeah. And there's a meeting point where you've got a lot of people who play fantasy and their large frustration is the herd mentality. There's nothing fun about fantasy when everyone is doing the same thing. I want to do something different. And the statistical models, effective as they may be, just aren't for everyone because it's just hurting everyone toward a similar decision. Now, I think if Sertolp were here, he'd make a very logical argument of like, no, that's not actually what statistical models do. They sort of help give you the menu of choice and then you have the freedom of that choice. But that's like how people might be wary of that data revolution. So I'm not scared of it. I think it's like obviously natural. It's something that's a part of most American fantasy sports. I mean, baseball has just been, mired in this not to make it sound bad for forever. So it was always going to happen. Now it's going to be interesting to see how data, evolves within the fantasy game. Yeah. We'll talk. I think we can sort of like prognosticate about what changes might happen to the FPL game. And I could see an FPL site integrate some data, some statistical models into the site, which would be cool.
Yes, that's exactly what I was about to say. I feel like there's an opportunity there. And, you know, you talked about American sports. The big difference is that in American sports, everybody loves the data, because it's available for everybody. I mean, basically, like there are player projections, points projections for every single NFL player that you can own, right? Just right there on ESPN, just in their free game, right? You could just see, you know, not only the player projections, it's like every player is ranked by a series of experts, you know, like running backs, 1 to 47, right? Or whatever, you know, they're all ranked by 10 people, and you can sort them every different way you want, right? And they're sort of, you know, and I guess the difference is that you compete against, no one can own the same player, right? And so you're all sort of like competing against each other. And I think that, you know, you're not this idea that, you know, the fantasy is FPL is golf, I think is the trickier part, right? Because you like you said, I mean, it's one thing, if, you know, you can't have everybody sort of get put in the same position in something like NFL fantasy, because you can only one person can own one of those players, right? And so like the second, you know, great, this guy's projected to go top, somebody picks him up the waiver wire, well, that's it, you know, like who's next on the list. And, you know, so it's very different in that way. But I think you're right. I think just democratizing that data would really be helpful if you just had player projections. And like, honestly, like the stuff they have just isn't very helpful, right? I mean, you and I have joked before about some of the stuff that like the ICT index or whatever, like no one's using that stuff. You know, it's like,
you don't know what it is. And B, it's, you know, it can't even put anything into context. It's not useful. It's not helpful.
No.
The fixture ticker on the FPL site is just like basic. It's the
compared
most
to
basic
what else
stuff.
Is on there. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. And like in the live ranks, I mean, obviously, you know, you and I were talking this, I mean, this is not, and again, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, I want this stuff to, I want it to evolve, you know, I want the evolution to keep happening. And, you know, it just feels like there is like, if you just give people more of this information, I think we don't have to have this kind of split. You know, by the way, the everybody has the same team complaints are not new, right? I mean, yeah. Those, we have been talking about that, or we've heard those complaints since we started doing the podcast, right? Like, yeah. Go back 7 years, that this has been a complaint that everybody has all the time. And so it's not unique to the new data, you know, revolution or whatever.
Was it our friend Honcho Phil at the Black Horse who was saying he was trying to explain the FPL site to a fellow sports fan who wasn't familiar with FPL? And he's like, okay, yeah. So there's a site, fantasy.premierleague.com. You pick your team there, but then there are price changes. In order to figure out what the price changes are going to be, you have to go to a different site. Right. And, but then to figure out your live rank, you've got to go to this site. And to figure out this, you've got. And he was like, his friend's eyes just glazed over after like 30 seconds. Just like, it's like, how do you play this fantasy game? It's insane.
Yeah. And maybe it's like one of those things where it's like, because it's very complicated that like, It people fall in love with it in its own weird way, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, yeah, I don't know. It's a it's like even the way I talk about it, it feels more personal to me, right?
Oh, you
know?
Yeah. I think I always people can talk about the fantasy site like 9 million managers, like it's a big number of managers. I don't think it's big at all, considering the Premier League is the biggest sports league, on the planet.
Yeah,
it should be 9 billion, honestly. And
yeah.
Enjoy it, fantasy managers, while you still can, being a niche fantasy player, because it's not going to be this way forever. And these are kind of like very funny, quaint times. And it's fun to be part of this weird little community before it's ultimately going to explode beyond those 9 million managers.
That's true. And I think we will see some different versions of the game pop up, some ones that actually take off. I'm not quite sure why none of the other versions have been able to take off. And I don't know if it's because they're all sort of, they tend to be just, they're just not partnered with a big enough outfit, right? You know, like ESPN did a real, you know, basic kind of pick'em fantasy game a couple of years. Our friend Leo, who was working there at the time. I don't think he works there anymore, but there's a basic version of it. And it was like, you know, it was kind of fun, but it wasn't, you know, it just didn't have the, like, it was too basic, right?
Yeah, it was like pick more 3 intensity. Players each game week. And
it wasn't enough
which
strategy.
Which is fun in principle, but the thing that FPL offers that we're all addicted to is this robust, long-term 38 game week. You know, we are exhausted right now at the end of the season, but it was that long struggle throughout the entire season that we wanted the entire time. That's what makes FPL fun, is it's just like this, the longest fantasy game out there.
Yeah, make Saturdays great again. You know, that's I worry about some of the shifts in schedule. I hope they keep kind of the basic. This is like you see it in like all sports now. You know, like I really hope the Premier League never goes to a full on La Liga style thing where La Liga matches just happen all the. There's probably one happening right now, like as we're recording. It's just like they're just on whenever. You know, it was like it was game week 38 and they spaced over 4 days. Like they're just like we don't really care. You know, we're just gonna play the games whatever we want to. And I want to keep this Saturday fixture. Although I do like the early game on Sunday, like this last weekend when you had a 7 a.m. match, that was like a fun 7 a.m. our time, 12 p.m. UK time. It was fun to have that little. I like waking up to the, as an American fan, it's very fun to wake up to the Premier League. So,
warning, next season is going to continue the weirdness because of the World Cup happening in the middle of the club season. Probably going to have another compressed fixture schedule with matches happening all the time.
So eventually, and then like, you know, starting in March 2020, we didn't know we were settling for like 4 years of fantasy chaos in addition to global chaos.
Hey listeners, Brandon here. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. During the last 2 years, my work schedule, my life schedule, my diet, basically everything has been thrown into chaos. I'm sure some of you can relate. A few weeks ago, Athletic Greens sent me this amazing starter pack, and I've been using their product AG1 each morning, and I love it. I started taking AG1 in the mornings because I don't really have a real breakfast routine, and now I have a quick and easy habit that I'm building to start my mornings. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, and it really does taste good. It has this sort of tropical flavor. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. And I started commuting to the office again, so I've actually been putting my AG1 scoop with about 12 ounces of water into this bottle that comes with their kit, and it's easy to grab, shake, and run out the front door, and I'm on my way to have a great day. A subscription to AG1 costs less than $3 a day, way cheaper than my cold brew habit. And for every purchase, this is great. Athletic Greens donates to organizations helping to get nutritious foods to kids in need, including No Kid Hungry here in the U.S. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/cheating. This is a deal special for Always Cheating listeners. Again, that site is athleticgreens.com/cheating to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional endurance. Do we need to check in on where our individual seasons landed, or just do we want to just jump straight to the our leagues, our podcast leagues?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say, and I want to talk about some things I want to do that, you know, like actual strategy things I want to do differently next year. Let's do that in a second. But I finished 34K overall. So, you know, really, a really good finish. You know, not... kind of where I wanted to end up, just because I did have some sort of ambitious goals for the season, but ultimately, like, it's fine, it's good, and so yeah, I feel you know, it's good, and I think the issue that I had was just that I couldn't move out. I was between 20 and 40K, like basically since December, you know, and it was just like to a degree, it was great that I didn't fall, but it was also just like I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Ever, like, I don't think I ever got back into like the top 20K, you know, and it was just that like that frustration of just like, what combination of things do I have to do, you know, like how crazy do I have to go here while still being somewhat rank protecty, right? I mean, there was still, you know, 20 weeks ago, I'm still, you know, hoping I'm gonna win the league, or, you know, win my mini league, and so, you know, you can't just go totally nuts like that early in the season, and then it's like, when do you start to go a little more nuts, like when do you really go for it? And I think I maybe started to go a little like, I just think I was a little tilted, honestly, all season. I basically got like fantasy sports tilt. And then I think it affected the way that I processed data each week. You know, it was just, I was just a little tilted. And so I'm hoping that the tilt resets. So how about you?
Finished 386,000 overall in the world, which is my worst rank since 2011 when I started playing fantasy. Yeah. So just bad. It was an interesting season in the exercise of letting go. And, you know, I don't say that proudly. I mean, it was good in terms of flexing that make fantasy fun again muscle. Like, okay, in order for me to endure certain aspects of this fantasy season, I have to let go a little bit because mm-hmm. it's not going right. And the way I'm going to enjoy this particular season is give a little bit more of my brain over to the football as opposed
right.
to the fantasy. And I'm happy with how I was able to do that. I was yeah. able to successfully let go and not be too heartbroken over bad fantasy decisions and bad yeah. game week ranks. So that was good. But I'm going to look back at my OR rank history and see this season as a pretty painful one. And yeah. I want to change that. Like, I do not want to be a non-competitive fantasy manager. That's not an ambition that I harbor. I think, you know, yeah. the like sad
you
truth.
Said, but you had a top 100K streak for like a decade, you know, it's right. just like, it's, you know, so yeah, right. I mean, it's, you know, I remember I had a season, in 2014, I was like, looking up as you were talking, actually, it was, you know, I just the season went off the rails early and I could never reset it. And I finished 574,000, you know, and it was just like, it's like, I hear you. Like every time I look now and I see that one, because it's such an outlier, you know, for everything else, I'm just like, yeah, like, can I just like write to them and have it like stricken from the record, like pretend it didn't play that season.
Yeah.
But you know, once it's done, right?
Like, it is
doesn't
done.
Really matter. Yeah.
There's a theory out there too, that as the fantasy game is growing, and I was talking about the 9 million current managers that could now, you know, explode to a billion, maybe in a good season, and breaking into the top 100K is going to become closer to impossible for a lot of managers. So context is, particularly when you're looking back at your previous season's finishing ranks, you think about like how many managers you were competing against, and now I'm competing against more and more. So you have to put that context into it. But I, on the other hand, I don't know how much I buy into that. Like us seasoned, smart managers, we should still be able to punch into that top 100K. I think even as the game continues to grow, I think that's going to continue to be the goal. And I think it's going to continue to be a relatively realistic one.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you know, I think most of the content creators this season, maybe not most, but many of them had really good seasons, you know, top 10K. A lot of people create fans kind of over the top 10K. And yeah, like they create fantasy content. They talk about fantasy, but like, you know, like for very, very few of them is it like any kind of full-time job, right? They just enjoy it. It's just a hobby that they really enjoy. And maybe they have like a little bit of kind of whatever quality makes you want to go out there and start talking to people about it, you know, a little bit of that ego. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, you know, but like, so they have a little bit of that. But in general, they're just people who like playing, you know, and most of them, I don't think even are especially data inclined, you know, and so, and, you know, and nor am I, right? And I've had two top 5K finishes in the last 4 years. So, like, it's definitely like something you can do without knowing how to, like, you know, so I'm kind of with you. I guess I just think like it's fine to like keep top 10K as your goal and just acknowledge that it's going to be a lot harder. Like to me, it's like this idea that like I'm suddenly going to treat top 50K or top 100K like it's top 10K. Like I just can't do that, you know? And so to me, it's just like, yeah, it's still, my goal is still top 10K. And I just know it's going to be a lot harder, you know? Mm-hmm. And so maybe there is a part of you that you just have to like, you know, be a little easier on yourself then. Right. And like, sure. I mean, you know, but I do think that, I'm kind of with you. It's hard to like just totally reset, but I think if you're just coming into it fresh, or, you know, you weren't like such a massive hobbyist like we are, you know, then yeah, I think top 100K is probably the goal you should set for yourself. It's certainly one you and I said before we started creating this podcast, you know, it's just like, all right, let's see if I can finish the top 100K, you know, so.
All right, so that's where we are. Let's talk about some people who really had stunning finishes to the season. I'll take the Super League, Josh, and then you can take our other pod leagues and the winners there. So the top 10 league, and congrats to like the Super League had a great showing this season. We were on the fantasy homepage a number of times, and they take like the average score of what is it, like the top, you know, 100 teams.
Yeah,
I'm not sure, but
top five managers or whatever it is.
Yep. So we had a very strong showing. So starting at number 10, Little Chancer in 10th place, Bruno Salter, Golden Boot in 9th, and 8th place, the Brothers Grimsby, Chris Turner. I'll give their actual name. So Jaron Ong in 10th, Rich Stevens in 9th, Chris Turner in 8th, Kim Tony Henriksen in 7th place, Darren Dempsey, perhaps related to the new Hall of Fame inductee, Clint Dempsey, Josh, we don't know. But Darren Dempsey finishing in 6th. Daniel Clark, I'm seeing a lot of green arrows too in the Super League. So a lot of people rising in 38. Daniel Clark in 5th. Daniel Mason Abraham, who's been a mainstay in the top 10 this season, finishes in 4th. Sandra Hogg in 3rd place. Dave Addy in 2nd. And finishing 5th overall in the world and 1st in the Super League, congrats to Damian Rugrock. Congratulations, Damian. Great, great season for you.
Yeah, congrats, Damian. And everyone in the top 10. That is, I don't think you and I have ever even gotten close to the top 10. And the The always cheating Super League. I want to do a quick shout out of the top five in there as well. This is the league for our Patreon supporters we run every season. Do we give out a prize? I think we do give out something. So
yeah, well, it's t-shirts, mugs. We'll sort it out. People will be recognized for sure. Yeah.
In fifth is Jack Flash. Fourth, Dave Faulkner Bendixson. Third is Hendrik Mattsson. Second is Donald Hannigan. You'll hear that name again in a second, Brandon. And first is Pat Riley, the man himself. Yeah, Mr. Laker, you know.
Yeah. Showtime. I've enjoyed following Pat Riley's second half of the season because I felt like he's the sort of manager who just kind of embraced the chaos. He was taking he took a minus 16 in game week 37. And he took the risks. He got the rub of the green. Just one of those magical finishes to the season for him. He ended up taking a minus 4 in game week 38 even, and finishes with an OR of 230. So that's a huge finish for Pat.
Yeah. And he was a fun hang on our Slack. Last cheater standing, congratulations to Donald Hannigan. That's another Patreon. I don't mean to turn this into a big Patreon plug, but this is one of the fun things about being in our Patreon league is that we there's a bunch of leagues that we don't even start that are just like pop up. And the fun one that I think is the most fun just because it's run and managed so well is Last Year Standing. So, you know, everyone who wants to play puts their name kind of in the hat at the start of the season. And depending on how many people are in that pot, that we eliminate two teams each week. I think later on it turns into three until there is just one cheater standing. Basically, it's the lowest score that gets dropped out every time.
Right, each game week. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And then the winner of our Forever Young Second Half League is a longtime friend of the podcast, Richard Nyquist.
Nice. So Final Richie is going to get that $250 cash prize and whatever you want, Richie, from the Always Cheating Shop.
Once again, thanks to everyone who participated in any of our mini leagues. Just a quick shout out to the Patreon. This next month is going to be free for all Patreon supporters. It's a free month. We're turning off the pledges for that month. So if you want to, you know, join into the Patreon, or maybe you want some cash in one of your mini leagues and you want to, sort of pop into the Always Cheating world, the Slack is going to stay open the entire month, even though it's free. So you can go to patreon.com/always cheating. That's where you can go to find out more and support the podcast. So Brandon, let's take a quick break and we're going to look ahead to next season. So Brandon, at the beginning of the season, you and I set a couple of goals for ourselves. And my goal was to be more positive sort of week in and week out. Your goal was to not dismiss like 98% of all the players in the league as complete garbage. You and I were both gigantic failures in this regard. Yeah. My negativity was fully intact. I mean, my personal, like the self-directed, you know, just like watching these matches and just kicking myself for every bad decision that I made. You talked a little bit about why you just had a hard time changing your strategy because of the chaos of the season. But, you know, when we think about next year, right. And, you know, what we want to change, we you know, for the podcast, you know, we really want to stay true to who we are and maybe get back to that a little bit too. We just wanted to be more fun, you know, like we've been trying the last few weeks to just get back to being fun, like a fun morning listen for people. And, you know, I think that I want to keep, you know, like next year, like we already know what's going to happen, right? We know the World Cup is going to, you know, come. And like, I think that, because we know it, I think it'll be easier to manage, right? It's I think the COVID stuff was frustrating because it felt so chaotic. It was affecting players and teams differently. You know, you're still taking a four, you know, just like, there's just a lot of chaos. And this time it's like, all right, we have this, you know, we got this half a season coming and then it's going to get broken up, you know, for six weeks or so. And then it's back in December. I think Boxing Day is when it resumes. Right. I think that's what the schedule is going to look like ultimately. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's, there you go. You know, so mentally you can kind of put that in and maybe it'll be fun. Like maybe it'll be fun to just like have 6 weeks away from the Premier League. And, you know, the World Cup's going to be on. The World Cup, I don't care.
World Cup's awesome, dude.
I don't care what month of the year it is, right? We're drawn with the Ukraine, Iran, it's England, Iran, and then either the Ukraine, Scotland, or Wales. Mm-hmm. Like, those games are all going to be great. Like, I'm incredibly excited about all of them. I don't even want to say who I hope the fourth team is, because I feel like I'll be speaking a loss into. I'll be voicing a future loss. Okay. But yeah, so it's you know, so that's gonna be a blast. So I think that will be fun. But I think as far as you know, my FPL management style goes, I just think I was actually thinking about this earlier today and how I have been like just posting a lot less on Twitter the last few weeks and sort of I just had to do a kind of like a reset myself. And I think that for me, it's I don't actually think that I have like a toxic relationship with FPL Twitter or you know, or any of these like sort of social media sites out there. But what I do think I don't think I'm taking the best out of them. You know, it's like there's like a kind of like the kind of like I feel like I'm not maybe I'm just we're just following too many people in our accounts or I just got to keep better lists or something like that, you know, like the managed list on Twitter. But I just feel like I'm not the stuff I'm getting out of it is not helping me enough and it's not entertaining me enough, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, I have to like, I just think maybe I need to curate a little more, you know, like, it's like, we have to like drop down to following zero people and like slowly build it up again, you know, at like, and I don't mean to blame people. It's just that I feel like I'm just like getting like just like drowning in voices, you know, like just too many people talking.
Do you find that they ever help? I mean, I don't want to just totally dismiss the discussion that happens on these platforms because often it is fulfilling.
Yeah. But
can you think of any situations in which taking advice from social media for your fantasy team helped you?
It feels like I only remember the times when it doesn't work. You know, there must be times when I've posted a team or a strategy. And I think I think early in the week is when I find it more helpful. You know, on Monday or Tuesday, if I'm talking about a potential transfer and somebody says, like, you know, what about this? Or I'm not sure about that. Maybe you should wait. That stuff can be helpful. I think when it's Friday, you know, and I'm like, here's how I'm looking for, you know, for this upcoming game week, or here's the transfer I'm about to make. And then somebody is like, ew, or like, really? Reece James, you know? And like that's the kind of stuff that gets in my head a little bit, you know, even if it does change my opinion or if it doesn't, either way, it's sort of now it's like planted like a seed of doubt in my head. Yeah. And so I think, you know, maybe I need to scale it back as we get close to the end of the week. Maybe that's the way to do it. I don't know.
When I was a senior in high school, our coach for the soccer team, and this is like a thing I think most teams do. You've got to have like a theme for the season, much like always cheating was make fantasy fun again this season. He made up some T-shirts and on the back it said, it's all about attitude. And maybe that could be the theme for always cheating next season is it's less you've got to have fun or it's less you've got to succeed. It's just no matter what your style is, it's all about attitude. And I think that might be a way to sort of cult whether you're talking about cultivating voices that you follow on social media or cultivating your own strategy, like figure out what kind of attitude you want or sort of find the attitude of the season and embrace it and follow the muse there.
Because you're right. I think that makes a lot of sense because there's something about being just like, what do you think, guys? You know, it's just like not, it's like you're inviting people to be like, your team stinks, man. You know, it's like, you just gotta be like, this is how it is. Like this is my strategy. Like take it or leave it. So what about you? I mean, what do you want to, I mean, I feel like mine is more social because I feel like well, anyway, I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you. For me, what I want to fix next season is, again, going back to the passive versus active FPL manager. I feel like that's still a work in progress for me. And part of that, a big part of that is when you become a reactive manager, you're reacting to what you see around you, what you see other fantasy managers do. And I think I just need to embrace what I find fulfilling about fantasy is doing my own thing.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily like being maverick, but it is just not effective ownership. That discussion we were having and Fabio Borges there, that I think really corrupts, my fantasy team. And what I end up doing is
do you feel like you like consider a series of moves and then there's kind of one move that's like, the sort of dominant move. Like, you know, that's like sort of everyone's moving that way. Like that player is going to be the most transferred in or whatever. And that, so you sort of default to that because you kind of know that's what, you know, I feel like that's an example of, it's not necessarily even effective ownership, but just an example of like, I kind of know where everyone's going. Right now.
I'll do, so I feel like I'll think of two modes of thinking. There is the, all right, I'm just going to go with what the dominant thinking is because this all seems logical and it makes sense. Or I will find myself feeling like I can wish or believe another reality into existence. It's not like a Martin Odegaard thing, but it is more a Kane over Son sort of a thing.
So I
guess
you want to be true so badly that you convince yourself that's
right.
Exactly.
So where is that happy middle ground where you're accepting of reality, but you're also respectful of your own play style? Yeah. I don't even know if that's possible, but I think that's the dream. And when I think about the problems I've had, it usually comes down to either I'm trying to make something happen that's never going to happen, or I'm just like being sucked out into the sea by the tide of the rest of fantasy.
I wonder if there's like a way to like lean into whatever your like player. I feel like for you especially, like your taste in players can be a big factor for you. You know, it's like there's just like there's a style of like kind of playmaker, like a KDB, James Ward-Prowse, Odegaard, where you just really like those kind of players. I think you like having them in fantasy. I mean, I think you think there's returns coming. It's not like you just like to watch them play. And it's like, so maybe like the strategy now is like, this is how I just know I'm going to default to these guys a lot. And so it's like, you need to have like really detailed rankings of like all of the players who kind of play like in a particular style that you think is like conducive to fantasy points or whatever, right? And just like, all right, here's what, here's when they've got good fixtures 10 weeks from now, that's when I'm going to target them. Here's, you know, and it's, I don't know, that could be like an interesting way to play.
Maybe. I think if you identify that as an issue I have, I wouldn't argue with you, but it's, then it's like what I end up with is a fantasy team that's like a Rube Goldberg device where I think, oh, like, there's no way I can't get some points for this team. Like Odegaard is a playmaker. Right. He creates a lot of chances. Therefore, there are so many routes to points. Like I'm fond of saying, well, this guy's a good pick because he's on corners, and that's like fantasy catnip, quote unquote. But yeah, so then as I'm saying, like I end up with this mousetrap of a team where I think like I'm guaranteed to catch points, ignoring the fact that there are players where there's like FPL rewards, I think, the direct route to points. This guy's in form and he's scoring goals. Don't overthink it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a good reset to happen there where you stop becoming enamored of players who are those all around great players who have multiple routes to points and just going for the players who are more direct and they're going to have fantasy points come by much easier.
I think that I'm sort of moving on to a new, other strategies that I think would be more effective. I think I want to pay more attention to the transfer windows this year. The August one and the December and the January one and really probably gonna be a weird January one, I would think, with the World Cup, but just, you know, they're just players like Bruno Guimarães, you know, I think I'm probably mispronouncing his last name, but just like who were kind of there, like they were like, you know, I mean even Kulusevski, right? Like these are some hard names to pronounce, Brandon. Even Kulusevski, the wonderful Swedish player. I don't know. I think it was you.
From Northern Macedonia.
Yeah. I think you were the one who got that wrong last week. I can't remember.
Okay. was,
but like, you know, there were players being good at fantasy is often about being first to market, you know? So like to borrow a business term, right? It's like, you know, like the ones who are just like the first to get Kulusevski, right? When he comes in, the first to I mean, Luis Diaz, I mean, you know, it took him a little while. You know, it was a kind of tricky situation because you had Jota there, but he ultimately ended up having some really impressive fantasy returns, you know, in the second half of the season. And it's just like, you know, it's not that you need to like be following the transfer rumor mill, because that's chaotic and fake mostly, but you know, just following, you know, okay, like Newcastle just brought this guy in. Is he going to start? You know, what kind of record does he have? Is he going to play the same kind of position that he played, right? Sometimes these guys are, you know, they're just not getting minutes in their club because they have a great creative playmaker there already. But it, once he gets this job, he's going to come in and be really good. And I think there's just like a level of like research, you know, that is, I think, enjoyable too. Like I remember like, you know, Damarcy Mbakani was a player who became this sort of patron saint of the pod. It was just because, you know, it was for whatever reason that season, I was just like every single guy who joined the Premier League I was reading about, you know? And so it's like, it makes you better at fantasy. And I think we can actually do this in the podcast more too next year, but it's also like you said, people, and everybody has to do this, right? But it's just like, it makes you better at fantasy. It also just makes the season more fun. Right. Like, I don't, you know, I just, you know, these new players, it's like, you know, it's fresh blood. It's like, all right, there's like, you know, 30, 40 new people who will join and at least have some fantasy relevance next fall. And to just sort of have a sense of who they are and what kind of style they play, like that I think would make the game more fun, too.
So first to market is a good thing. Is the takeaway from Salah this season is it's more important than ever to be the first to offload a player? Like that, like, is there, there's obviously value in picking up a good pick before anybody else does, whether even if it's just one game week, but Salah proved this season, like you've got to kill your darlings sometime. Yeah. And that's really hard to do, particularly if you've been playing FPL for a long time.
Yeah.
The common theme is always to preach patience and, and Salah had his underlying stats to go along with this long rap sheet of just being a great fantasy asset, which made it so hard to drop him, even though when you were watching a lot of his performances, you kind of knew this probably is a guy who's off the fantasy boil a bit.
We even knew it, right? Because we talked about it. We were like, yeah, this guy's played so many minutes. You know, it's like he played every match in December, and then he goes to the African Cup of Nations, plays all of these matches that go into extra minutes, right? Every elimination match, I think, played 30 more, right? And then he takes like, you know, 12 hours off, and suddenly he's playing like a couple days later for Liverpool. And so it was like, we couldn't quite pull the trigger, even though we said that, you know, on the podcast. And like you said, I mean, his track record made it more difficult, obviously, just because we know how good he is. But yeah, I think in general, I think you and I, neither of us had a ton of ruthlessness this season, you know? Right. Yep. And I think that's really, because there's not this feeling that's like you can't bring them back again. But I think this is again where the effective ownership thing is like it can be a hindrance, right? Because it's like you know all this stuff, but then you're like, well, if he goes off, then you know he's gonna have 130% EO this weekend, and I'm gonna be screwed. You know, it's just I'm not sure that's like a great way to think. You know, I'm not sure it's hugely helpful.
It's not. It's fear based, and I think that's something we don't talk. Well, you can talk about fear-based management. I don't know how you quantify that. Well, I don't even know if you need to, but that's a problem. It's a big problem that a lot of it is the same thing of that is what effective ownership is. It's fear-based FPL management.
I think so too. I mean, I could see, you know, okay, if you were number one in the world or whatever, it'd be useful to know. I think in general, it's not going to help you win your mini leagues, really. Maybe it can a little bit because it gives you a general sense of, who the popular players are. But part of the problem is that it's like you get in your head that you are it's like I'm going to take Salah out. And like my goal is to put I'm just going to field 10 players. It's like you forget that like whoever you're going to drop like a 13 million player for is going to turn like it's going to be somebody who's really good, or maybe it's three really good players, right? Because he's so expensive that dropping him actually can make your entire team better, right? And it's sort of that's when you sort of get swamped in the idea of ownership, and it's like right, but like. You know, you do get to have all the money can be spent elsewhere. You don't just keep it in your bank, you know? Yeah. And so I think it sounds like you and I are both kind of leaning towards going back to the FPL dark ages a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And part of that for me is getting rid of every premium goalkeeper I'm ever tempted to bring into my fantasy team.
Okay.
This is another season that just like drove a stake into the heart of the premium goalkeeper. I had this moment when all the matches kicked off at game week 38. I was like, oh, you know what's fun? I have Ederson in goal. I forgot about that. And I just didn't get any value at all from having Ederson for the last month. And just a good reminder to everybody out there, don't pay $6 million for a goalkeeper.
No, it's, who would have thought like they would concede that? I mean, I guess Diaz is just, it's like Van Dijk, right? It's like, Wolves don't have a lot to play for. And then kind of immediately it's like, well, you know, without Van Dijk, this team just is not a strong defensively. God, they got caught a couple of times. I mean, honestly, with better finishing, Wolves could have had three goals today. Like it was kind of,
Playing Fernandinho when you've got Nathan Ake on the bench. Nathan Ake is not a world beater, but he's got to be better than Fernandinho as a, and you right foot, left foot, I don't care. Like just play a bloody center back there instead of a slow old guy.
Yeah, Pep loves Fernandinho. Yeah, I mean, yeah, to Pep's credit, all the subs he made were brilliant. So, you know, like, I don't think I've ever seen him that emotional after a game. That was pretty,
he went full Hasenhüttl.
He did. Yeah, he did. So Brennan, you know, I think there's a lot to look forward to. I think our plan right now is to, we're not going to be off for 6 months. Like, I think the plan right now is to certainly take the rest of the month off, take the month of June off. The game launched, you had said to me a couple days ago when we were talking that it turned out we had actually done more pods this year than we had done in any other season.
Yeah.
And you know, for you and me, that's we do them twice, right? Because we do our Patreon one on Thursday as well. And so, you know, we've done like 135 pods this year, you know, and it's just a lot of fantasy talk, honestly. It's just, you know, so I think that for us, it's we're going to take a reset, even if the game launches, you know, the second week of June or whatever. It launched kind of early last season. Even if the game launches early, I think that you and I are not going to go crazy this year. And I think the plan will be back in some, you know, sometime in July. If the game launches on the 3rd of July, we'll probably be back that night, you know. But like, I think in general, the goal is to take, you know, about 6 weeks off and then come back refreshed.
Yeah, curious to see if any changes do happen. You know, people are talking. I don't know if anybody talking about changes to the fantasy site knows anything. What I thought was interesting about the launch of the fantasy game last season was they launched it so early without any fanfare of any kind. And I don't know. It's like me putting my marketing hat on. I was like, could you maybe just like put a little bit of like sparkle on this launch?
Yeah.
And I could see the logic of the sooner you've got the site up, the more you can accumulate managers signing up over the course of July. But I would love to see the game launch to a little bit more fanfare this year, because I think it was a long season for a lot of people, and we're going to want to have like a real fresh, exciting restart for the new game.
Yeah. And so, I mean, hopefully it used to be like the first week of July was when we typically see it. And yeah, like you said, last year was early. The year before that doesn't really count because they had games. The season didn't end until first week of August or whatever it was. So I hope that you're right. And I hope we see some new features. You know, I would love to see, I mean, some of the data stuff that we talked about, I would love to see, if they overhauled the point system, I think that would be great. I mean, one thing that would prevent the everybody has the same team system, I think, is if you just had, you know, I mean, I think it could really change just the way points look. I mean, the Bundesliga, you know, that you can own so many different players in that game, and, you know, but you accumulate points the entire match. So it's kind of fun. You have like, you know, they complete whatever, you know, it's like a key pass and they get two extra points. Right. And so it's kind of fun though. Right. Cause you're 2 hours into the match, you already have 39 points, you know, just from like good things happening on the pitch.
Right. How do you create more intelligent football spectators, sort of give them more of these points that they're looking out for.
Yeah.
And I think that would be helpful to have, like grow, particularly like in areas of, well, I mean, whatever, football, everybody knows the rules of football, but I think that would be a good path forward for sure. Just reskin the site, make it faster, little cosmetic things like this too, scrap the chips, et cetera.
That would be great.
Those would be cool things.
Yeah. I think having like a more structured, like, I'm not sure you actually, this is like a small thing, but don't want the skin. I'm not really sure you need to be moving players around in a little like football pitch, like a fake football pitch. Like, I think you probably just put those all as like boxes and just move things around. That's a more common way to do it in other fantasy sports where you just reorder your stuff. And I think that might help some of the managers who, like, you know, with formations and things.
Interesting.
Like that as well.
Your anti pitch view. I've never heard that before.
Well, I was just thinking about it recently, and I was like, it actually is kind of nice when I just have like a list of players, and I'm just moving their names up and down where I want them to, you know, be. I guess it's a little different because I guess you can do different formations in fantasy, whereas the other ones, it's a little more, you're basically like plugging up a spot. You know, got three wide receivers, I got to put three there.
You remember this? It was a popular PC game in the late 80s, Battle Chess. And it was a chessboard, but all the pieces were these animated creatures. Mm-hmm. And when you went to take a piece, the pieces would have like a pre-scripted animation of a battle where one would kill the other.
Yeah.
I think instead of pitch view, you could have your FPL players like do a battle chess sort of
like
animation, and then one would eat the other, cool stuff like that. You know, I'm throwing out these ideas for free. Feel free to like use them or not. It's fine. Up.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, Brandon's got ideas. You know, people know where to find us. Thanks to everyone for listening to the podcast all season. We'll be back before you know it. And Brandon, do you want to just do one final sign off and thank you to our producer patrons, including a brand new producer patron that we picked up this week?
Absolutely. Our Patreon supporters have been awesome all season and made this season a ton of fun, especially our producers who come through like in a big way. So thank you to producers Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T., The Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Dave Wagner, Lodahl. Sorry about those Celtics, big boy. Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forbig, Skogang.
Let's go gang.
Andy Portlock, Toothless Given, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Mikey Uwong, Bruce Kerr, Sam Schauer, Rich Evans, Future Media Group FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shub Morjoria, Rom Frosk, AJ, Jeremy Spiker, Lazarus Yunus, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Caleb Robbie, Todd Byerly, Alper Poxoy, Martin Ospith, Lee Hickman, Valger Paulson Kruger, Jazz Binning, Francis Moore, Managed by Lasso, James Keatley, Keegan Walsh, The Saint, FPL Pessimist, Bob Fox, and as you mentioned, Josh, our newest Patreon producer, welcome, Jefferson Turner. And listen, if Patreon's not your bag, but you do want to thank me and Josh for this season, an easy thing you can do for free is just rate us, give us a 5-star review on iTunes, wherever you download the podcast, and keep up with us throughout the summer. Follow us on social media. We're most active on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. Shoot us an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And all this information and more is available at alwayscheating.com. Quick plug for the Always Cheating digital store, Josh. If you need like a prize for mini league leader, league winner, maybe an Always Cheating t-shirt or a mug would be suitable.
Yeah.
Find us there. We'll hook you up.
It's true. We should have been plugging this for like the last month. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, we'll do it at the very end of our final podcast of the season. But thanks everyone for listening. And we'll see you in a few weeks. Bye.